Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Praise God forevermore. Come and celebrate God with a clap of him. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Wow, glory to God. God, you are good. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. Hallelujah. Are you there? Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. If you're there, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. So as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go home to your own people and tell them how all the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you." You know, last week I started this series that we titled Thankful. You know, as the year draws to an end, a lot of people have mixed feelings, and people are feeling depressed or feeling like many things that they plan to accomplish, they have not accomplished it. So it creates mixed feelings for most people. But for the people of God, it must be different. Say it must be different. Because our life is in the hand of God. And because our lives are in the hand of God, he is guaranteed to take us from one level of glory to the next level of glory. But you have to trust in him. Tell me about trust in Jesus. So we've been talking about the thankfulness of God. So it's so important that we are thankful even in this season. Thankful even in this season. You know, last week we talked about being thankful for God. Because God is good and he's for you. Hallelujah. God is for you. God is not against you. The reason why he's for you is because Jesus died and sacrificed his life for it to happen like that. That God is for you. He's not against you. Tell your neighbor, God is for you. Be thankful for that. God is for you. What does it mean that God is for you? This is how the scripture puts it. If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God is for us, nothing can be against us. Hallelujah. Circumstances can be against us. Situations can be against us. As a matter of fact, Paul said it, all things are for you. Do you know what that means? Everything is working for the favor of the believer. You need to come to that consciousness of it, that all things are working for me. The Bible also said that God is in all things, working out all things for your good because you love him and are called according to his purpose. He's working for you. Hallelujah. He's working in your life. He's working in your life. Don't focus on negativity and think that God is dormant in your life. He's at work. Jesus said that the Father is always working. He's always working, and he's working for the good of they that love him. Hallelujah. Do you love God? Hallelujah. God is working for you. So you need to be thankful for that. No matter what you've experienced this year, no matter what you faced this year, no matter the situations that you've experienced or the disappointments that you've experienced this year, no matter how much you desired to accomplish some things this year and you didn't accomplish it, and it tends to bring some form of discouragement to you, then let the devil distract you from being thankful with discouragement. Discouragement will only rob you of what God wants to do in your life. Because discouragement is a tool of the devil to limit the believer. Let me say that again. You need to hear this. Discouragement is a tool of the devil to limit the believer. In other words, you must not be discouraged. Hallelujah. You must not be discouraged. Am I saying that there will not be situations that want to make you feel discouraged? No. But you must never let discouragement set into your life because of circumstances. Why? Because God is in control. And discouragement is just a tool of the devil. Discouragement is not a natural consequence of events. Let me explain that. I'll say that again. Discouragement is not a natural consequence of events. In other words, people feel that if things don't go well with me, I feel discouraged. That is the natural response to things not going well. But that's not the natural response. Discouragement is a function of the lie that the devil has told you. It's a function of your perception of a situation. Because you can look at one situation and think it's bad. That same situation will be a blessing for somebody else. One situation can make somebody discouraged, and that same situation can make somebody else excited. And for believers, we must never let discouragement get a hold of us. The Bible talks about the servant of the Lord that he will not be discouraged. You cannot be discouraged. Say, I can never be discouraged. Everything is working for me. Everything is working for me. All things are working for my good. He's intentional, never failing. I don't have to worry because he's working for me. He's working for me. He's working for me. You don't have to worry because he's working on your behalf. Hallelujah. All you need to be is to be thankful. Tell your neighbor, be thankful. God is for you. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Don't end this year sad. End this year with rejoicing. Don't end this year, discouraged. End this year with full of enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Because God is working for you. Hallelujah. Today I want to continue that series of being thankful. We did what I titled thankful. Thankful in a question mark. Then it's a question. Are you thankful? Then tell it. Hallelujah. Go back to that, back to that 5 verse 18. We can see something there clearly. Hallelujah. God is good. Be thankful and tell it. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5 verse 18. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Next verse. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy upon you. Excuse me. Now, let me just give you a backstory. In this Mark chapter 5, this is the first account that Jesus had of here where he met a madman that was possessed by demons, a legion of demons. The Bible talked about this man that he lived in the graveyard. He lived among tombs and he used to cut himself with stones. That they have tried to chain this man, but he will always break the chain and let loose. So Jesus came and had some encounter with him. And after the encounter, the demons left the man and the man became sane. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a mighty deliverance. Someone that was left to destruction, delivered by the hand of Jesus. How do you think that person will feel? Excited. Excited. He was so happy that he wanted to follow Jesus everywhere he went to. But Jesus stopped him and said, don't come with me. Do you know what you should do? Go to your own people and tell them what God has done for you. Go to your own people and tell them what God has done for you. And guess what? The Bible went on to say that he went to the 10 cities, Decapolis, proclaiming, I was mad, full of demons, but this man, Jesus, he came and he set me free. Now I'm saying, he became a what I call a testifier of the goodness of God. And what then happened? If you read further, the 10 cities started running and looking for Jesus. They came from 10 cities to seek Jesus. Why? Because one man was delivered by Jesus and he went to tell of the good things that the Lord did for him. God does not just want you to be thankful. God wants you to express your thankfulness. God wants you to tell what is making you thankful. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that our salvation is full if we don't tell it fully. Hallelujah. Thankfulness is one thing, but you ought to move from just thankfulness to telling people about your thankfulness. What I want to tell you, to teach this morning is that God wants us not just to be thankful, but to tell our thankfulness to people. Hallelujah. To share our testimonies to people. So this man, what was the instruction that Jesus gave him? Go back to verse 19. Look at the instruction that Jesus gave him. Verse 19. Jesus did not let him go. So he told him, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. How much has the Lord done for you this year, 2022? Hallelujah. He says, go home to your own people and tell them. In other words, Jesus will tell him, go and publish what I have done for you. Go and tell them to people. The problem is that most of us, when God does things for us, we keep it to our hearts. We don't want to tell anybody. Either because of stage fright or feeling that you're not sure if God did it for you. Now God, when God does things for you, it's interesting. I said this in the first service. Let me say it again. When God does things for you, there's a temptation to think that you did it by yourself. God is that humble. When he does something for you, there's a temptation to make you feel like, man, maybe it's, you think about it logically. Maybe it's because I did this, that's why I got it. No. It's not because you did 1, 2, 3 that you got it. It's because God did it for you. I guess what I'm saying. Look at what God told the Israelites. He says that when you go, you become very rich. He said, but be careful not to forget the Lord your God, who gives you the power to make wealth. Why would God be telling people, don't forget that I made you rich? Don't forget I made you rich. Don't forget I made you rich. Why? Because when you become rich, you can forget. You might think that it's how skillful you were that made you rich. You might think it's about how you were clever in business. You might think about how you were diligent at work. Are all those things good? Yes, they are very good. Be clever in business. Be diligent at work. But never confuse your cleverness or diligence to the reason why you have it. Hallelujah. It is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. Because they are clever people. Diligent people. But don't have what you have. So be thankful. But beyond being thankful, tell it. Jesus said, go and tell what the Lord has done for you. Go and tell what the Lord has done for you. Ken Hagin of blessed memory had an experience where Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him and had a long conversation with him. Then Jesus told him, I want to teach you a sermon. Because what had been happening, that he was praying earnestly and he felt that there was a message that God wanted to give him, but he couldn't get it. So what happened is that when Jesus appeared to him, he asked Jesus, please, I've been praying. I feel that there's a message that you want to give me, but I've not been able to get it. Can you give it to me? Jesus told him, go and get a note. He went to get a note. He said that now, This was not in his mind. He was seeing Jesus. No, Ken Hagin saw Jesus several times before he died. Ken Hagin, he was seeing Jesus. So Jesus told him, write this thing down. He said, what I'm about to tell you is this. What I'm about to tell you, if anybody does this thing, follows this step, they will get anything they want from me. If anybody follows this step, they will get anything they want from me. So he told him, write. Number one, say it. Number two, do it. Number three, receive it. And number four, tell it. He started explaining to him from the woman of issue, with the issue of blood. And he said that if you don't tell what God has done, you have not completed the cycle of the mighty works of God. Let me say that again. If you don't tell what God has done, you have not completed the cycle of the mighty works of God. So telling it is as important as being thankful. Why are you thankful? Tell it. Tell your neighbor, tell it.
Tell it.
Tell it. Jesus told this man, don't follow me. The man was so excited. You know what most of us do? When God does something great for us, we want to just spend time worshiping God in our room and not tell it to anybody. We are happy in our room. We are happy in our room. We are grateful to God. God is saying it's good to be happy and be thankful to me, but go out and tell it. Go out and tell it. Tell your neighbor, go out and tell it.
Tell it.
Tell it. Why? Because there is something that he gets when we tell it. There is something that he gets when we tell it. So Ken Hagin said that if you don't follow this, if you follow this principle, he called it How to Write Your Ticket with God. It's a small book. It was a sermon he preached. It's only doing a small book. We still have this small book here in the library. I don't know if it's still here though, but we can check it. How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And he showed him different parts of the scripture where he saw that practice. So telling it is as important as just being thankful. So if you are thankful, tell it. Tell your neighbor, tell it.
Tell it.
The reason why God wants us to tell it is because God wants to show off his goodness to people. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. God wants to show off his goodness to people. He says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In the first service, I said God loves to show off. God loves to show off. If you read the Bible, you will believe what I just said now. God loves to demonstrate. He likes to show his power. He likes to show his goodness. He wants people to see it. So look at what the Bible says here. That he raised us up. He raised you up. He, first of all, he delivered you from sin and positioned you in a place of advantage. Why did he do that? In order that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding or the incomparable riches of his grace. How will he show it? Through his kindness to us. So the reason why God shows us kindness is not just because he loves us. Let me say that again, because people are looking at me strange. The reason why God shows you kindness is not just because he loves you. Let's read it again. In order that in the ages to come, he, who is he there? God might show, he might demonstrate his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us. In other words, when God is showing you kindness, he's expressing himself. Hallelujah. He's expressing himself. And he doesn't want to express himself just to you. He wants other people to see what he has expressed to you. Has God shown you kindness? Tell it. Tell it. So, in other words, if God does something for you, and you don't tell it, you are limiting things from God. Hallelujah. Let me say this here. If you are not thankful when God does things for you, that's the first level. If you're not thankful when God does things for you, you would hinder what God has already released to you from coming to you. I'll talk more about that next week. If you're not thankful, if you don't have a thankful heart, and let me tell you this, God has done many things for you. You might not acknowledge it. Acknowledging it is a dangerous thing. But I can tell you this, God has done many things for you. Yesterday I saw a video. Miraculous saves. I call it miraculous saves. It was on somebody's status on WhatsApp. It was like near misses. And they were having a narration on that, how God has protected people, how God protects people. So there was one that really struck me, that the guy was driving a motorcycle, and a truck came with speed and hit the motorcycle, but the motorcycle crushed and flew away. But the guy went out stumbling like this and stood up. The guy that was driving the motorcycle. Get what I'm saying? Somebody is driving a motorcycle, trying to cross a T-junction. A truck comes with speed, hits the motorcycle. You see the motorcycle flying, but you see the guy stepping back like this. You know what I'm saying? How'd that happen? God. God. I believe strongly that what happened was an angel just lifted him up and dropped him. Because there was no way he could have escaped that accident. Do you know that? That is what you know. But there are many more things that God has done for you this year
that you are not even aware of. God is good. God is a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. You must be thankful. But if you're not thankful, you hinder him to show you more goodness. Why? Because you are blinded. I'll talk about that next week. Let me just mention it. You are blinded to see the opportunities it brings your way. But even when you are thankful, you still need to tell it, to show it. Because if you don't tell it, you hinder the glory that will come to God. Hallelujah. If you don't tell it, you hinder the glory that will come to God. So we see in Ephesians chapter 2 that God raised us up, put us in Christ Jesus, set us above all principalities and powers so that he can show and demonstrate his goodness to us by showing us kindness. Telling of the goodness of God is so important because it inspires hope in people and stirs up their faith. God expects us to tell it. God expects you to show people that he is kind. God expects you to demonstrate and express what God has done for you so that people can see it. When you conceal it in your heart, you are robbing God of praise. When you conceal it in your heart, you are robbing God of the opportunity for doing the same thing to other people. Because what God does is this: he shows forth his goodness through people so that other people can believe that they will experience the same goodness of God. Let me say it again. When God does good to somebody, the reason why he does it is so that other people can see that God is a good God and they can trust him to experience his own goodness. Because the Bible says this, that with God there is no favoritism. If he does one for one, if he does something for one, he can do it for all. That is God's principle. If he does something for one person, he can do it for every other person. Why? Because God is rich to all. Sometimes Christians feel jealous and feel unsatisfied and feel discouraged, not because they don't have good things going for them, but because they see what other people are enjoying and feel that they are suffering. They go on social media and see their classmates entering private jet, and they will say, "Hey, see me, I'm still driving RAV4. Did I'm joking? I'm not joking. Because there are people that have plenty things going for them, but they don't know that they have things going for them. Because they see other people having things that are better than what they have. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Why? Because that person that you see flying a private jet, that's if it's real or sometimes it's fake. You know, on social media, all sorts of things happen on social media. That person flying a private jet, if he says it's God that did it for him, be happy. Because if he did it for him, he can do it for you. Why? Because Bible says this in Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. God is not a respecter of person. God does not show favoritism. God cannot be showing favoritism if he tells us as believers not to show favoritism. Do you know God told us not to show favoritism? The Bible says, it's not, as a matter of fact, James, you know, James was a hard preacher. You know, he used to smile. He used to just, he would tell you, man, you are a sinner. You are useless. Don't read the book of James. You will not know he's talking to Christians. You will think that he's talking to unbelievers, but he's talking to Christians. Say, cleanse your heart, you sinners. Purify your hands, you double-minded. No, James was a hard man. Read the book of James, you understand what I'm saying? That's why God has both hard preachers and soft preachers, and the ones in the middle too. I don't know where I fall in, but... God is like that. Just anyone, but I don't know how I got there. Go to Romans chapter. What was Paul? Was Paul a hard preacher? Paul was in the middle. But Peter was a kind preacher. Peter. It's good to read Peter. Peter was very kind. He would encourage you. Bless your heart. So we're all servants of God, whether we are hard or soft or in the middle. Maybe I'm in the middle. I don't know if I'm in the middle. What was that? Quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at this. Because this will encourage somebody. Never feel that when God is blessing somebody, that it is to your disadvantage. No. When God is blessing somebody, is to your advantage, because he has given you a picture of which you can say, yes, God did it for them, he can do it for me. Because there is no difference with God. Look at it in Romans chapter 10. I read verse. Oh, glory to God. Is it verse 11. Verse 11, it says, as the scripture says, anyone, someone say anyone. What does anyone mean? Anybody. Does anyone include children? Does anyone include the poor? Does anyone include the rich? Does anyone include the homeless? Does it include the homeless? Anyone. So look at what it says here. Follow the words that were used in this portion of scripture I'm reading. It says, for this, as the scripture says, in other words, it's not the imagination of a man. It's the scripture that says it. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Why? For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all. And richly blesses all who call upon him. Let me read that in the New King James Version. I like the way King James Version frames it. Say, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. The same Lord over all is rich to who? All who call upon him. In other words, if you call upon him, he'll be rich towards you. What does it mean to be rich? To be abundant. Hallelujah. What's his name? Christ the healer. F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth said something that he used a graphic picture to paint God's mercy. He said that God's mercy, just imagine taking an ocean and I can't remember how he phrased it, but it's just imagine a balloon. Let me just explain to you. You just pump water into a balloon full to its maximum. Will it take so much for that balloon to burst? No. If you just treat it anyhow, as a balloon that are well inflated, easily burst. Am I correct? My children like balloons, so when I buy balloons for them, they blow it. Then they are playing with it. You just play with it, it can even get busted. He said that God's goodness is like that balloon held over mankind. That if anybody can just use a pin to press it, it will blast and it will overflow. God is rich to all. If only you can call upon him. So in other words, God is just. So he will not just let his mercy just flow like that. But what happens that once you just, how did he put it again? That you fulfill his divine justice. When you fulfill his divine justice, he lets his mercy flow into your life like never before. Hallelujah. God is good. God is rich unto all. And there is no difference. Now, see, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. If you understand that statement, or Paul's setting, you understand what he was saying. It was like a caste system. A caste system. You know what a caste system is? A caste system is that, for instance, in India, they have what they operate the caste system. The rich people are rich. The poor people are poor. The rich will remain rich. The poor people will remain poor. That's their philosophy. So there is no difference between the rich and the poor. That's what Paul is saying. Because when he said there's no difference between the Greek and the Jew and the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentile, you will not understand it. In those days, Jews cannot eat Gentiles. They cannot eat with Gentiles. In other words, if you eat with Gentiles, you go for ceremonial cleaning. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you are, in quotes, too righteous to flow with them. But Paul said that, see, there was no difference anymore. If the Jew call upon him, he's rich towards them. If the Gentile call upon him, he's rich towards him. If the poor call upon him, he's rich towards them. If the rich call upon him, he's rich toward them. There is no difference. God does not show favoritism. So the reason why God shows his kindness, or does shows you kindness, is to demonstrate you to the world so that people can see that God is kind and then start expecting him to show you to be kind towards them. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, we have wrong thinking a lot of times. When we see God is blessing people, we start feeling bad. We start beefing them. I've told this story before. I used to work with one guy. And the guy was, we were analysts in the company then. And the guy used to be the one that was struggling in the company. And he stays in Lekki. He has always been staying in Lekki, but every time he would complain about his shack in Lekki, how he came and water flooded the place and he didn't have anywhere to put his leg. He was complaining. So one day, after I left the company, I just said, let me come and see him because we're friends. Let's go and see him. I say, he stays in Lekki. But before then, he had been telling me how, man, God has just been blessing him. I mean, I was just thinking, me and my own self, I was just thinking, maybe just something small. So he said, let's come to Lekki. So I was driving to Lekki. When he described the place to Lekki, I said, this place is not going to be, I think that he will be staying, no. But maybe let's go. Maybe he's staying at the back of the place. But as I was driving, I drove. I was seeing the big houses in Lekki. I said, serious. Let's be going. Maybe there's somewhere else hidden. I got to the number. It was not a small house. It was not a shack. It was a mansion. I came in. Do you know the first thing that came to my mind? A Christian man. That this boy has swindled people. Oh. That one came to my mind. And my man, I was saying this guy has really, really swindled people because he had the tendency before. But he was telling me that it's God that blessed him. Do you know the point that my man I thought was in my mind? God rebuked me and said, see, why do you think that this guy was swindled? Why can't you think that I blessed him like this? Do you get what I'm saying? Why do you think that it was true fraud? That is a poverty mindset. Let me say it again. It's a poverty mindset. That somebody is blessed is wrong. People even go and say that it's just that he did. I'm not saying that jazz will not give cannot give somebody money, but why can't you think that God gives the person more money? Are you getting what I'm saying? Why would God even give them money? It's so that you will know that he can give you money. So if you don't tell what God is doing in your life, if you withhold it, you withhold the blessing from people. You withhold the blessing from people. Because whenever you tell it, it stirs hope in the heart of for people. If you come and testify of how God has blessed you, let me give you a testimony that happened just this weekend. My rent was due just over a week ago. And around Monday, I was in a Zoom meeting, and my credit, my data finished. I did not have money to buy data. You know, I don't buy data with cash. I buy data with transfer, but I did not have money to buy data. And I had a bill of close to ₦1 million that was due. The Friday that had passed. That's how I had no money, but I was not worried. I was not worried because I knew that God will provide. I knew that God will provide. How will he provide? I did not know. When I started getting worried about how he will provide, I thought, okay, now, my sister just came back from UK. She will have some money. Maybe she can just loan me the money. I sent my sister a message. She sent me a message. She doesn't have Naira. And then I see how she can change money. I've not seen her since today. Oh my goodness. God just did that so that I can just show my foolishness. Oh my God. Guess what? I could not have believed that it would have happened like that. One way or the other, the money got completed. And I paid my rent. Why? Because I had told the person that they should give me 1 week. That on Friday I will pay the rent. On that Friday evening, I was typing a message that said, sorry, I beg, no vex. I could not get the money. But somebody told me, don't type it. Just tell him to send me your account number. So I just changed the text immediately. Send me your account number. And I sent the account number without money to pay the rent. But the next morning, before, okay, this was happening around that 11:50 something. I did that because the day has finished. I said, please, I beg, sorry, no vex. I don't pay the money as I tell you that I will pay today. Somebody just told me, don't send that. Cancel it. Tell him, send me the account number. I sent the account number that night. By the next morning, Saturday morning, the money had completed. So when he sent the account number, immediately I transferred the money. What I'm saying? Do you know why I told that story? Because it's grand. But do you know that you waking up this morning is worth that amount of gratitude to God? I guess what I'm saying. People think that it's just that you sleep and wake up, it's natural occurrence. No, the Bible says that I slept and I woke up. Why? Because the Lord kept me. The Lord kept me. It's worth being thankful for. So go ahead and be thankful for even small things. Both the small things and the large things, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Because that is one way we open up ourselves to receive more from God. And then when we tell it, that's one way we open up other people to receive from God. So tell it. Because God wants you to tell of His goodness to people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tell it. Tell your neighbor, tell it. Amen. You're not telling it to brag. You're not telling it because you feel like you're the one that God loves the most. No, you're telling it because if God did it for me, He can do it for you. Hallelujah. If God came through for one person, He can come through for everybody. So when you see God come through for somebody, just thank Him. God, I thank You for Your good. I did not know that You are this good. Before, I did not know that You could give this kind of money. But You've given it to this person. Thank You, You can give this kind of money. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? He wants to inspire people to receive His goodness. Because what pleases God is that people understand that He is good and they receive His goodness. He's a good God. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. I still feel like you do this also this morning. Some people don't believe that God is good. The reason why you don't believe that God is good or you've not seen the goodness of God is because you don't believe that God is good. Hallelujah. It's true. With God, God works in this. God is very interesting. Naturally, if somebody tells you, come, puts a blindfold in your eye, and tell you, there's something very sweet I want you to eat. Just open your mouth. What will you do? Will you open your mouth? No. Why will you open your mouth? You cannot even see what. The only person that can allow to do that kind of thing is my wife. Even my wife first, I will first of all resist first. Open the mouth. Why? Because I cannot see what they are giving me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Bam, 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 bam. Let me eat. Let me see it first. If you do like that with God, you will never see it. The Bible says, in God it is taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, if you don't taste it, you can never see it. You know what I'm saying? I was tasting it on Monday. I was tasting it on Tuesday. I was tasting it on Wednesday. I was tasting it on Thursday. I was tasting it on Friday morning. By Saturday morning, I saw that He was good. I get what I'm saying. If you don't step out in faith, you will never see that God is good. Never. God is good. I can tell you this. God is a good God. He's not out to get you. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Let's quickly go on. But when He shows you goodness, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. Tell anybody, tell it. Make it a duty and a habit to always tell what God has done for you. From the small things to the big things. Make it a duty and a habit. Someone say habit. to always tell what God has done for you, whether it's the small thing or the large thing, because that way you would stir the heart of people. As a matter of fact, that is the one powerful way we witness the goodness, we witness for Jesus. That's one powerful way we witness for Jesus, by just telling what God has done for him. What did God tell that man? He said, go to your people and tell them how much God has done for you. Don't keep silent. Tell them how much God has done for you. How he has had mercy upon you. Has God shown you mercy this year? Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. It gives God glory. If you don't tell it, you rob God of glory. If you don't tell it, you limit God to do the good to other people. Hallelujah. Tell it. Look at Psalm 71, verse 15, 16. I say, make it a duty and a habit to always tell what God has done for you, from the small things to the large things. Psalm 71, verse 15. It says, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds. My mouth will do what? Tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. Next verse. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. See what he's saying here. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your mighty works, of the good things you've done, though I know not how to relate them. No, that's the many people's excuse for keeping it to themselves. They don't know how to relate them. I have stage fright, so I won't come out to say it. Or I can't speak English very well. I won't come out to say it. God is saying that, look at this. That statement tells me this. That even though I do not know how to relate them, I will still tell them. Even though I don't know how to relate them, I will still tell of the righteous deeds of God, of the goodness of God. I will still tell of the goodness of God. Tell it. He says, my mouth will tell of your goodness. So make it a big deal to always tell what God has done for you. Make a big deal of all God does for you and tell it to others. Make a big deal of what God does for you. If you are someone that is always complaining, you are, God help you. Start from today and say, God, I will not complain again. I will not complain again. I will not complain again. Let me tell you, see, do you know, when I was having that issue, I didn't know how to pay my rent. I was having a conversation with one of my friends. And what he was telling me, I could use it as an example to tell him how he should have courage and have faith. But see, I'm owing rent. But I felt that if I told him, the minute I tell him, I will put him under pressure to give me something. Because this kind of person, if I tell him, it will be like, man, he wants to do something. He wants to do something because he doesn't want to be in that kind of situation. So immediately it came to my mind to try to use that as an example. I just held myself back. I'm not telling him. I won't tell him. I won't tell him. And it passed. That was the day the rent was due. Do you know what I'm saying? It passed. What am I saying? Don't be the person that always complains that I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need. You're not in need. God is for you. Bible says, let your mind be free from the love of money. And be content with such things you have. For God himself has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You can take that to the bank. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you are never at a disadvantage. Tell your neighbor, you are never at a disadvantage. Tell the person again, listen to me, you are never at a disadvantage. The reason why you experience disadvantage is because you think you are disadvantaged. You are not disadvantaged. You have God for you. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got there, but I can tell you this. You are never at a disadvantage. See, God is big for me. God is good to me. God is constantly good to me. Whether I see it or don't see it, I'm tasting it first. Hallelujah. He's good to me. And I've always seen his goodness. Hallelujah. But you must tell it. Tell it. What has God done for you? He gave you an opportunity. Tell it. And even the things that you think that you can complain about are actually the very things that you should be thanking God for. Let me say it again. The things that you might be complaining about are actually the very things that you should be thanking God for. You might be thanking God, you might be wondering. You're in a place where they're paying you 30,000 naira. And they give you, you don't buy your food. You should be thankful for that, even though it's a small money. Because there are some people that without 30,000 naira, they will buy food. They will pay house rent. You should be thankful. You can be complaining, hey, go see my mates. They are already in their houses. But that house that you are staying in might just be the one that you should be thanking God for. Hallelujah. Be thankful. And tell it. Tell it. Let's continue. Let's end there. It says, do not withhold it. You should tell it to people one-on-one. When God does good things for you, tell it to people one-on-one. Tell it to your neighbor. Tell it to your colleague. Tell it. God has been good to me. He did this, he did this, he did this for me. Small things and big things. Tell it. Because this world is looking for hope. And you are the hope. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 40 verse 9 and 10. Look at it. So tell it in small, one-on-one. Tell it in small groups. You are hanging out. Tell people what God has done for you. It is, hallelujah. It is not, what's the word now? People feel shy to tell that God did things for them. Do you know that? Because they're not sure that God did it for them. There is nothing that you have that God didn't do for you. I can say that confidently in my life. There is nothing that I have that I've accomplished that God didn't do for me. I don't think I'm the smartest person. As a matter of fact, I'm not smart like that. But people think I'm very smart. My wife always tells me that, see, I'm smarter than I say I am. But I know I'm not smarter than I say I am. But God makes me very smart. And I see things and I can analyze things and I can look at things very well. And I can answer questions very well. Why? Because of God. There is nothing I've accomplished that God has not done for me. Nothing. And I can tell you that it's not because I'm Pastor Murphy. It has happened like that even before I became pastor. Before I became pastor, I was sitting down in meetings with MDs of big companies. Is it because I'm that smart? No. But because God gave me the opportunity. God gave me the opportunity. God is working in your life. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. If you are a complainer, the reason why you will keep complaining is because you are a complainer. I don't know if God has just said. The reason why you will keep complaining is because you are a complainer. Just stop being a complainer and you will stop complaining. I don't know what I'm saying. God will give you understanding. Psalm 40, verse 9 to 10. Look what it says here. I will proclaim your saving acts in here, the great assembly. I will proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I will not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. Look at the next verse. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I do not conceal it. I do not hide it. That's what most people do. They hide it in their heart. Say, God has been good. They'll say, yes, God has been good, but man, now let me know. Nobody else know again. I don't fit in any other person. Some people don't think that God has done anything for them. They are wrong. Second category of people. Some people, they know that God has done something for them, but they don't want to tell it to anybody. They are wrong too. Because the both of them are very important. Hallelujah. So I'll say to you, be thankful and tell it. Be thankful and tell it. Tell it to your neighbor. Tell it to your friends. Tell it in church. Tell it in church. Come what he says there. I do not conceal it. Lord, you yourself know I don't conceal what you tell me to do. So basically, it's like he was bargaining with God. God, you know, I will not hide it from anybody if you do it for me. I will not hide it. Hallelujah. I will not conceal it in my heart. I will tell it. Tell it. Start telling it. Start telling it. Start telling it. Start telling it. Because God loves it when you show other people his goodness. This morning, make it a duty. Make it a habit to start telling of God's goodness in your life. Testify of it. Tell people about it. Even if it's a small thing, tell people about it. Next Sunday is our Thanksgiving service. Tell people about it. Testify of it. What has God done for you this year? Tell people about it. Hallelujah. Can you just bow down your heads and make a commitment to God this morning? That I will not withhold your glory, and I will not deprive people around me from knowing how good you have been to me. Both the small and the great, I will show forth. Because that the reason why God lifted you up in Christ Jesus and placed you in a place of advantage, it's so that in this age, he will show and declare and manifest and demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace by showing us kindness. God is going to be kind towards you this season. But make a commitment to God from today. I'm making it my habit to tell of your goodness to people. Tell of your goodness to people. People will rather even hear you telling of the goodness of God than just you giving a revelation of his salvation. Tell of his goodness. Say, Lord, I will tell of your goodness.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.